Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, and my co-host here, almost 1 year older, my friend, Dave Popowich. How are you?
Well, I'm not so good now that you mentioned that.
It's coming around. Your birthday's coming around the corner, man.
It's around the corner.
If you look behind you, you can see the top of the hill.
The numbers are getting big. The numbers are big, my friend. Look into your future, well, as I like to remind you.
That's because your font is on triple size. That's why the numbers are big.
We've got a good show. We've got a good show as our last show of the year, I guess.
What are you doing for New Year's?
Well, kids stuff.
You're going to spend some time with the kids?
Yeah, I've got brother coming into town with his kids, and, you know, I don't know, whatever the kids want to do. We'll play board games and just sit around and
So when I was a young teenager, there was a DJ group that played some music in the city here, and they're doing a reunion, a 30-year reunion.
Well, you've just dated yourself.
Yeah, and so I'm coming back out to see how these guys get together, and I'll be providing a lot of these, medication to help with the old joints and so forth, just to make some few bucks over the weekend. But it'll be fun to see how these guys perform, and I'm going to hang out with my family. My sister's coming down from Edmonton, too,
awesome.
So it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
That's a good it's a good time for family, just kind of hanging out.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about our last year of the show of the year. We're going to discuss some tax changes for small businesses and some ways to minimize the impacts of those changes.
Yeah, we're just 3 days away or 4 days away from these changes actually coming into fruition, so be aware of that. We also will continue the tax-saving options by chatting about some strategies for high-income earners. There's some big concerns about tax being pushed up over the last few years. How do you save on that? We've got a couple of strategies that we're going to talk about.
You bet. And then we're going to talk about the things that you should ask yourself to determine what you really want to do in your retirement. Remember, we talk all the time about people knowing what they're retiring from, but not necessarily what they're retiring to, and that's a big part of the lifestyle plan.
Yeah, but let's first talk about determining whether you're ready to retire or not. I think this is a very important conversation.
We have a terrific guest today. Catherine Collinson is a CEO and the president of Transamerica Institute and the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies, as well as the executive director of the Aegon Center for Longevity and Retirement. Now, she co-hosts ClearPath, which is your roadmap to health and wealth. Catherine, we love having you on the show. Thanks for taking some time with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about this retirement readiness survey measure. Maybe it's a very, very in-depth document, lots of good information. Maybe let's just start there. So what is the retirement readiness survey that you've participated in? What does it measure?
Well, it measures retirement readiness. The nature of the survey is this. Aegon, which is based in the Netherlands, and Transamerica Institute collaborate on a global retirement survey. Mm-hmm. Each year we survey 16,000 respondents across 15 countries to understand how well they're preparing for retirement, and with the eye of identifying opportunities, surfacing issues, and in not only finding comparisons, but how can we share best practices? And what's really, really interesting, historically, countries are approaching, have different retirement systems, but we're all sort of confronting the same challenges and issues. So our goal is to raise awareness and provide people with some action steps.
Okay, so let's maybe just dig in a little bit here. At a high level, tell us a little bit about what you found most interesting in the findings.
What most interesting is people around the world, including Canada, mm-hmm. are concerned about their future retirement. Many feel that they're not saving enough, and many are also concerned about the future of their Social Security benefits. Each country has its own flavor of Social Security. I'm using the term sort of generically, but the government benefits that are pay-as-you-go systems, where today's workers are paying the benefits of today's retirees, those systems are under strain, and people are very concerned about the future of their benefits. Not losing them altogether necessarily, but maybe there will be some changes in their benefits, either reductions. That popped up as a concern, that people are concerned they might not get as much as they think they will.
Can we spend some time on Canada?
Pardon?
Can we spend some time about Canada and how we did in the survey?
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell me what you found, how Canada did versus the rest of the world.
Well, Canada is doing pretty consistently with the rest of the world. We have this index we call the Aegon Retirement Readiness Index, which measures retirement readiness on a scale from 1 to 10 based on 6 key factors. And our rating scale is anything less than 6 is considered low, 6 to 7.9 is considered medium, and 8 or higher is considered high. Mm-hmm. Globally, retirement readiness came in at 5.9, which is still in the low. Canada is actually higher than the global average at 6.0, which is just barely in the median medium category. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like how Dave did in university. Just barely above the average.
Oh, you see how this goes, Catherine. Okay, so we kind of snuck into the medium category there. Who was the what country was the most ready for retirement?
Well, interestingly enough, we see the highest scores in emerging markets. And I'll also add it's an online survey, so there is some inherent survey bias to urban centers or more, people who are part of the new economy. So, for example, in India, which actually scores the highest, we're not able to reach people out in rural areas because they don't have computers and many don't even have phones. So the India came in at 7.3, followed by China at 6.7, and Brazil at 6.6.
Oh, that's emerging markets. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yes.
That would not.
And they're fast-growing economies. And one of the questions that we ask is if they feel that future generations of retirees will be better or worse off than the current generation. And those are the countries where we see the highest optimism about the future. And they're experiencing economic growth, very rapid growth, in a way that other countries have much more developed countries have much more slowly growing economies.
Yeah, I guess the mature, yeah. So the optimism I can see for sure.
What about the developed nations? Who were the top end in the developed nations? And if you can recall, which ones were? I know we were in the median area, but which are the developed nations were actually in the top end?
Okay, the U.S. came in at 6.5, Germany at 6.1, and then the United Kingdom in a tie with Canada at 6.0.
Okay.
And then Australia 5.9. Interestingly, the Netherlands, which is often heralded as having one of the best retirement systems in the world, they came in at 5.7. And then I'll fast forward to the lowest. The lowest every year in the survey that we've done it is Japan at 4.7. Japan is feeling the effects of a rapidly aging population where there's a far greater proportion of older people compared to younger people, and that is having implications in terms, and they have one of the highest life expectancies in the world as well. Mm-hmm. And so it is putting a strain on social systems, on employment, and also just their economy. They've had a very slow growing economy in general.
Is there anything you can put your finger on? So comparing Canada to, say, the United States, what would lead, is that an optimism thing that Canadians are maybe just more pessimistic than Americans are in terms of what that retirement looks like? Or is there some math behind this? If Americans save more money, what do you put your finger on to say why the U.S.'s average retiree would be, say, more ready than a Canadian?
Okay, well, I will sort of break it down for you.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, there's sort of 6 key questions that the index is built on. One is a feeling of personal responsibility, feeling very responsible for having sufficient income in retirement. The U.S. scores slightly higher than Canada on that question. U.S. respondents, 60% feel very responsible compared to 53% of those in Canada. U.S. also scores higher on the level of awareness to need to financially plan for retirement, 47% versus 38% feel very responsible. Now, and I'm The next one, and I have kind of a fun one too for you. Okay. Thinking about retirement planning process, the U.S. scores slightly higher, and neither country scores particularly well. 23% in the U.S. say their retirement plans are very well developed, compared to only 16% of Canadians. And with regard to preparations, U.S., again, very few feel very prepared, but slightly higher than Canada, 19 versus 12%. Wow. And then on track to meet the retirement income needs, only 32% of U.S. respondents compared to 29% of Canadian feel they're on course to achieve their needed retirement income. Now, one thing that is really, one last measure I think is really telling, though, is we ask people their ability, self-reported ability to understand financial matters when it comes to planning for your retirement. 37% in the U.S. say they're very able, compared to only 27% to those in Canada. However, this one has an interesting twist to it.
Okay.
Later on in the survey, for the first time in the history of the survey, with the permission of doctors Anna Maria Lusardi and Olivia Mitchell at George Washington University and the Wharton School, who authored the Big Three financial literacy questions to test how much people really, their basic financial literacy. Even though U.S. say they're very able, Canada scored much higher on the Big Three questions than the U.S. respondents.
On the financial literacy, Big Three.
Yes.
That's what are the don't we're just looking 37%
got all three questions right in Canada.
Yeah.
When it came to the United States, only 31% got it all right. Then 33% got two answers correct in Canada. In the U.S., 29%. So some of us attended math school a little bit longer than others, I think. That's
finance.
What it is.
that's terrific. All right, so there's some work to do here. Clearly, the optimism, that's interesting. We'll have to dig a little bit more into that. The developed versus the developing world responses to this. But Catherine, I want to thank you very much for your time today. We've enjoyed it, and it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We've been joined by Catherine Collinson, who is the CEO and president of Transamerica Institute and Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. Okay, Faisal, we've got to talk about this whole idea of retirement readiness coming up at our seminar, right? Our goal is to take that number from whatever it was, 30-some-odd percent, to 100%.
That's our goal. Make sure everybody is retiring and ready for it. We'll be discussing all that, and that will be on Tuesday, January 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. You need to reserve your seats, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or register online by going to www.morethanmoneyradio.com.
You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.